Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, this morning we are going to be finishing up a three-week series that we have been doing on marriage that we have called Love Songs. The first week we looked at God's design for marriage. Last week we looked at the husband's calling within marriage, and we talked about how husbands are supposed to lead their wives. And today we are finishing our series by addressing and talking about the wife's calling within marriage. And again, I'm going to tell the singles and the students, don't check out, right? Listen to what God might say to you through this morning's message. We're going to be, again, in Ephesians 5, same place we were last week, but we're going to look at the verses preceding what we looked at last week. So you can turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5, New Testament book of Ephesians. Chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. We'll skip down to verse 33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, we shared this last week, but this is Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, a church that he spent a lot of time with. He pastored them for about 3 years. So in this letter, you can feel the care and sensitivity that he has towards this church and how much he deeply loves them. So keep that in mind as we just dive straight into this passage, all right? So, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. So, wives, your first calling is to submit to your husbands. Now, this word submit is a very dangerous word, and in the church, it has definitely garnered a lot of attention in the Christian circles. It's been used, quite honestly, as a weapon against women. It's been used to hurt them. But please hear me. That is not the intent of this passage at all. That's not God's intent. God clearly states in his word that women are created with as much value, as much dignity, and as much worth in the hands of their creator as any man. They're not a side project. They're not an afterthought. Like we said 2 weeks ago, they are a man's complement and they are his equal. I actually love what famed commentator Matthew Henry says. He says it this way, listen to his words. The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. Beautiful. So when we look at this word submit, there are a few things that I want to make sure that we are aware of as we dive into that, okay? So first thing is that we need to look at the preceding verse to verse 22. That's why we read verse 21. Verse 21, Paul says to the entire church, men and women, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. So we're all called to submit. Now, this word submit is a Greek word. It's a military term. It's the idea that a soldier, when he is in battle, he's placing himself under the rank of his superior. And he recognizes how important that is. He's submitting himself to the commanding officer because he did this for the sake of the mission. For the sake of the mission, for the sake of the battle. He did it because he's part of a battalion. He's part of a team. He's not an individual by himself fighting this battle. He's a part of a team. He did it so that the company would be victorious, and every soldier understood that they had a role in the fight. One commentator says it this way: anyone who served in the armed forces knows the rank has to do with order and authority, not with value or ability. So we, as the church, are called to subject ourselves to one another for the mission of the gospel, that the name of Jesus, as we sang a minute ago, would be preached to all people in all languages of all time. And wives, it's in the background of this verse 21 that you are called to submit to your husbands. You're called to submit yourself underneath your husband for the sake of the mission of the gospel. Because your husband is not better than you. He's not smarter than you. And he's not more spiritual than you. But it's because God has created order and authority for the family that you submit yourself underneath your husband. And when that order is honored, the gospel message is seen by an unbelieving world. I said this a minute ago in my prayer, but I really believe this, that if the marriages that are in Jesus Christ, those who are a part of the church of Jesus Christ, if those marriages would actually abide and they would practice by Ephesians 5, what Paul tells us to both men and to women, to husbands and wives here, I really think that they would come knocking on our door saying, why in the world do you love them like you love them? Why is there such a difference? But instead, we try to love like the world loves. We try to love each other the way the world loves, and there's no difference between us. In fact, the latest statistics show that. Shows that the divorce rate within the church is the same as the divorce rate outside. It's very sad. But if we were to submit ourselves to this passage, if we were to love each other like God has asked us to love each other, then I think that the world would come calling. So I got a couple of other hard things to say here, okay? Men, it shouldn't be hard for your wife to submit herself to you. Here's why. Because you should be submitted to Jesus Christ. This goes back to what we said last week. And men, I encourage you, if you weren't here last week, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that message. We spoke directly to the men, the husbands in this room. And I encourage you to go back and listen to hear how you're supposed to lead your wives. Because here's the thing. It's easier for a woman to submit to her husband's leadership if he is loving her like Christ. If he's building her up with his words and his actions. If he's the first one to confess his sin when they're in the middle of a fight. And if he's pursuing her heart and defending her from other loves. It's not hard for a woman to submit to that. When I interviewed here at the church back in, actually I think it was almost a year ago now that I interviewed, they asked me, the board asked me if I wouldn't mind bringing Emily since we were so close. Of course, I asked Emily and she said, sure, I can make my plans to do that. So she, thankfully, she came with me and they were gracious. The board was super gracious. We walked through and kind of looked at the building and kind of were in awe. And I actually think the doors to Glory Bean were open. And we went in there and we're like, oh, that's such a cute little coffee shop. And we were so excited. So then we sat down and we were about to go through the interview process, right? And Jason Hill was the first one to ask a question. He said, I'm going to throw out a softball question to you. I was like, okay, that's great. He said, let's just talk about your girls. Talk about your girls for a minute. And so I responded, I was like, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go first and I'll let Emily fill in. But before I could even finish, Emily had already jumped in and started talking about the girls. All right? And if you know Emily, you know that that's par for the course, right? She loves conversation. She loves people. It's just part of who she is, okay? She's unafraid to step into conversations and be the first one. But sometimes she gets wrongly kind of accused of being too aggressive, right? People are kind of taken back by that forwardness, and sometimes they say she's a woman that oversteps her place, right? It's been said to her before. However, if you really know my wife, if you really know Emily, you quickly realize this is the furthest thing from the truth. That's not who she is at all. She has strong opinions, yes. She enjoys people, yes. But she very much submits herself under my leadership as a spiritual leader of the house. You will see that in her. And I'm confident it's not because of who I am. She is much smarter than me, all right? It's not because of me. She submits because I submit myself to Jesus. She knows that I'm going to love her with the love that Jesus has given to me. I'm confident that is why she submits herself underneath me, because she's seen me, hopefully, time and time again, lay down my own desires, my own wants to serve and to love our family. That's why she submits to me. And it's not hard for a wife to do that when she sees her husband faithfully following Jesus. The second thing we need to see from and be aware of in this word submit, it's husbands, it's not something you can do for your wives, okay? The passage doesn't say, husbands, make your wife submit to you. That's not what it says, okay? Look at it again. It says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. So the only person who can actually submit in this relationship is the wife submitting herself to her husband. She puts herself under rank, as the word says, to her husband, because she believes in the authority that God has created for the family. That's the reason that she does it. Now, I will say this, that throughout Scripture, we see this idea that when authority is abused, when authority is misused, that there are times that we don't submit to that authority. I'll give you an example. The greatest one I can think of is that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are supposed to respect, as we've been told in the New Testament, we're supposed to respect the laws of our land and our nation, but when that interferes with God's commands and God's truth, then we have to take pause, and we sometimes will not be able to submit to that authority. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're told, bow to the idol. They had to decide, are we going to make God our first and primary, or are we going to make this nation? And they knew God's commands, never to bow to an idol. And so they took their lives in their own hands by saying, no, we will not bow. And so women, I want to say this, wives, I want to say this to you. If your husband is asking you to do something illegal, like take or sell drugs, or if he's asking you to watch pornography, or if he's asking you to keep your kids away from church so he can fulfill some fantasy that he has about his kids becoming something great, under God's word, by his truth and his commands, you don't have to submit to that. You don't submit to that. Your first allegiance is to Jesus and to God. Wives, another thing that you're called to in your marriage is to empathize with your husbands. To empathize with him. Here's what I mean by that. Look back at the end of verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves because of your relationship and your reverence to Christ. Okay? Why do any of us have a reverence for Christ? Well, yes, of course, because he's God, second person of the Trinity. Sure, got that. But what's the other reason that we have a reverence for Christ? Because of his sacrifice. We empathize with him in it. We sit there and we ask ourselves, we're moved by the depth of love. Why would he do that for me? And so we empathize with the love that he would willingly give up himself for us. I'm not sure if I've shared this, but one of my other profound movie moments for me is at the end of Saving Private Ryan. I always get choked up. I always start tearing up. If you remember James Ryan, he's standing there at a French World War II memorial. And he's looking at the names of the men who have given their lives to bring him back home so that he wouldn't be the fourth of his family to pass during World War II. And he starts to tear up. His wife comes up to comfort him and console him. And he looks over at her and he says these words, tell me I've led a good life. Tell me I am a good man. Why? Why does Private Ryan need to hear that? Because we all recognize real sacrifice when we see it. Wives, your husbands need you to empathize with his sacrifice. To see when he does sacrifice, when he gives up what he wants so that his family can be in a better place. Recognize and empathize with that sacrifice. Because he's also called to something that you're not called to. Ephesians 5 calls husbands to give up their very lives if it's asked of them. You as a wife are not called to that kind of love. But he is. So empathize with him. Empathize with him. The next thing wives are called to, and it kind of goes along with this idea of empathy, is that look at the end of the Ephesians passage there. Paul concludes in verse 33, his remarks to the husbands and wives, and he says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. So wives, according to God's word, you also are called to respect your husbands. I don't know why this is. I don't know why, but men, for some reason, need respect more than women. I don't know if it's our fragile little egos or what it is, but we need respect more than women do. We cherish that respect and that esteem. Several years ago, I was working for a church in South Austin, and they were kind of going through a rebranding process. So they were redoing some of the images, and I was helping with that. And like I always do, I sent that image to Emily. And I said, hey, what do you think, you know? And so we got together for dinner later that evening, and I said, so what do you think? What do you think of the design? She goes, well, it's not your best work. Man. I mean, you could just imagine, I look like a puppy dog that is getting punished being sent back to the crate, right? Because I was so destroyed inside. I wanted her esteem. I wanted her respect. I wanted her to be in awe of that design. Truthfully, and wives, please hear me say this. Her respect meant way more than any of my coworkers. I promise you, for every husband in here, the respect of their wife means more than any other man's respect. It's just the truth. We desire that from our wives. So wives, you have a powerful influence in your husband's life. You can either give him the confidence to continue to be what God's created him to be, or you can emasculate him by giving him that respect. And you know what's really sad? Is when a woman shows such a lack of respect for her husband that she will publicly criticize him. She'll criticize him in front of other people. I've been in ministry for 25 years. I shared this last week. Some of the most cringy moments that I've ever been a part of is when a woman will be there at the table and she will say something derogatory about her husband. Because I know inside that man, his heart is shattering. It's breaking. Because he desires that kind of respect from his wife. The Greek word here for respect is the same word that's used throughout the New Testament of how God's people are supposed to revere and honor God. Now, I'm not saying your husband's God, but I am saying that's the kind of weight that's behind this word. And I know, wives, that sometimes it may be difficult to give your husband that kind of respect. When he missed picking up the kids again, when he's sitting there on the sofa while you're trying to finish up dinner, and you're just overwhelmed, and you just got that perfect sarcastic thing to say, right? You're like, oh, this will get him up, you know? And you're ready to say that. Don't do it, all right? Because all that he hears, and the only way that he interprets that is that it's some kind of criticism of him, that you want to manipulate him, right? Instead, here's what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to invite respect into that situation. Let's give it a play-by-play. Honey, I know you've had a long day at work, and I'm really, really thankful for how you work, how you put in that hard work for our family, that you care for us that much. Do you think you could give me a little help taking the bread out of the oven? That's simple. That little bit of respect, right? But I promise you, that goes a long way for husbands when they hear that little bit of respect. The first week of our series, we looked at the beautiful design of marriage. And we looked at how God created Eve as a complement to Adam. And we looked a lot at her complementary nature to Adam. But one of the things we didn't look at is the word that God actually uses for the woman. Remember, all of creation, God says it's not good. And he says, I'm going to make a suitable helper. That word helper is ezer in the Hebrew. And it means exactly that, to help. Yet, it carries with it this strength. In fact, God is called our ezer. Did you hear that, ladies? God is called our ezer. So you, as the helpmate of the man, are called the same thing that God is even called. You're the helpmate. But it's this idea of a rescuing ally, an amiable helper, a valuable friend. So wives, you're called to be of value to your husbands. This can mean an infinite number of things in an infinite number of ways. It can mean respectfully questioning his thoughts on something so that it makes him better. And that story that I told about Emily earlier, critiquing my picture, right? I know now that it was because it was from a place of help. She wanted me to be better, okay? So it could be something like that. Or, wives, it could be as simple as this. It could be praying over him before he goes into what could possibly be a life-changing meeting. That's what it looks like to be a valuable helper. But most of all, you're continuing to push him to be like Jesus. We've said this whole series. Marriage is sanctifying. Marriage's purpose is to make us more like Jesus. That's the whole purpose of marriage. Finally, wives, there's one last calling you have towards your husband. As your husband pursues you romantically, both physically, but also through loving service to you men, you as a wife are called to engage with him. To engage with him. Now, fellas, I'm not talking about you making some weird cracks about your wife's body. Okay? I mean, as you genuinely pursue her in your words, your sensitivity to what's going on in her world. I mean, how many times, ladies, you have 1,000 things going on with the kids, you feel like you're drowning, and then all of a sudden, here comes the piranha. Right? That's not what I mean here. But fellas, if we're taking the time to listen and to serve our wives, then wives, hear me say this, respond. Engage with him. In both places in Paul's letter, where he addresses husbands and wives, he addresses how the two are now one. And in fact, he says, your body does not belong to you. It belongs also to your spouse. This is for both men and women. It belongs to your spouse. And physical intimacy is a part of God's creation for marriage. It's fundamentally a part of God's creation. That should not be held away from each other as some type of punishment. Maybe this whole time you've been thinking, okay, that's great if I have a husband that loves Jesus. But what if I am a wife and my husband could care less about the things of Jesus? You know what? Thankfully, Paul tucked something away for you in here as well. Look back at the verse. Here's what it says. Submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. As you do to the Lord. Even if your husband does not follow Jesus, you are called to submit to him as you would to Jesus. What does that mean? It means that you continue to want his best. And here's what his best is. It means you submit to him. It means you empathize with him. It means you respect him. It means you value, you're of value to him. And it means you engage him. Ladies, you see what it says. Serve. To serve your husband. If Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve, why do we think it should be any less for us? Before Lee Strobel would become one of the most notable names in the church, he was an award-winning journalist for the Chicago Tribune. His wife, Leslie, had a powerful, profound experience with Jesus. Lee was an atheist. He thought it was going to be the end of his marriage. He thought it was going to be completely over. And he watched as she would show compassion and care towards others, and the way that she loved and served him as her husband. And it made him curious. So he went and he did the research to understand Christianity. The rest is history. He became a New York Times best-selling author of the book A Case for Christ, outlining in it Jesus' historical evidence for his resurrection and his death. All because his wife loved and served him the way that Jesus had loved and served her. Wives, will you choose to serve your husbands the way that Christ has served you? Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I pray for all the ladies in here who are married. God, whatever is going on in their relationships, God, I know it can be hard. God, I know that sometimes they feel a lack of respect and worth even from their own husbands. God, but would you give them the strength, God, to serve and to love their husbands the way that you have loved and served them, and they would keep that in the forefront of their mind. to love and to serve the way that you have. God, for all of us and all of our marriages, again, Lord, would you use our marriages to be a witness, to be a testimony of the truth of how you've loved us, and that others might come to know you because of the way that we live within our marriages, the way that we love one another. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.